This is an interesting sutta in the Anguttara Nikaya, where the Buddha talks about karma. What is karma? The cause by which karma comes into play, the diversity in karma, the result of karma, the cessation of karma, and the path of practice for the cessation of karma. So this is important. This is a book of six, so there are 6 points altogether. And the first one is, what is karma? I'm sure that all of you have heard this very often. The Buddha says in several suttas, Cittanahang bhikkhave kammang vadami. Monks, I say that karma is volition. Volition is the intention in your mind that motivates a particular course of action, whether it is mental, verbal, or physical, or bodily. If we understand this, then this can save us from a lot of unnecessary worry and regret. Sometimes things happen, but we did not have any intention. It was unintentional. You step on an ant and you kill an ant. You close the door and you squash a gecko between the door. But you don't have to feel remorseful about that because it was not intentional. Okay? So even if you did something out of good intention and then something turned out for the worse, then you should also not blame yourself. You did out of good intention, but it turned out that way. Well, perhaps you could say, well, it's the karma of the person. For example, this is an interesting story. There's one of our devotees in Taiping. The mother has a long history of struggling with the family. Her only son is a schizo. And this schizophrenia started only maybe in his early 20s when he was in college. He was doing quite well in school, and then when he was in college, this thing happened. And it's been dragging on for years and years and years. But he's not only totally schizophrenic in the psychiatric sense of the word, he's also got some spiritual interference from spirits and devas and things like that. He's like living in the twilight zone. He cannot differentiate between the reality of our physical world and the reality of the other world, because he can communicate with the spirits in the other world, and yet he's in this world, so sometimes it's like a conflict. It's not knowing which is the real thing. It's just like when you in a dream, you know, and you know that you're dreaming, but is that really real? Or when you get up and then you see yourself and then, is this real or is this a dream? This is a complicated issue. Anyway, she has lived with this person for many years now. I think maybe 15 or 20 years now. And on top of that, she got two other daughters, and the daughter also got married, and then there was broken up marriage. Marriage was not a successful one. And then the other daughter, the youngest daughter, was single, and then she got involved in the Dhamma, very intensely involved in the Dhamma, was a meditator, resigned, going in and out of meditation retreats, and then going to India for pilgrimage, coming back, wanting to become a nun. And at first, of course, she received some resistance from the family. The sister is actually supporting the mother as well as her own child, her own children. And the mother is not really working. And she was also supporting the mother. This dynamics going on in the family. You know, of course, the other sister says, if you go off like that, and then I have to support my children as well as mom. Yeah. So what happens if something happens to her? So these dynamics were there, and she was torn between wanting to renounce and staying on and not being able to stay on because she's already got disgusted and bored with the world. And then one day, the mother was working as a part-time cook in a charitable organization, came and was introduced to a guy who was supposed to be a medium, a young man actually, a very young man. And he sort of said that he could help the son. And so out of love for the son, the mother brought that medium to the house to try to cure her son of that schizophrenia, cum, spirit involvement sort of stuff. And then somehow this guy got attracted to the youngest daughter. And he is being a medium and delving in all this sort of stuff. He sort of charmed her. And she was actually charmed by him and then absconded with him. All the plans of becoming a nun all finished. And then went to stay with him, and ended up selling balloons. Very sad story. And then the mother was very, very distraught and then requested us to help her. So we brought her, we did a lot of chanting for her, trying to release her from that charm and so forth. Well, it didn't work. It didn't work. And this also has to do with her pent-up feelings towards the family for not wanting to release her to become a nun. Very complicated stuff. So in the end, she ran away, ran off, and went even to register. Even to register. And then the mother went and made a police report. This stuff going on. And then finally, she had a way. She said, I'm over 21, I'm an adult, you got no right to object to what I want to do. And that's basically what's eating her, because all the time they have been objecting to her wanting to do what she wants, but now she's doing something which the mother doesn't have a right to object to. So finally she went off. And then the mother was so remorseful. It's my fault for bringing that guy into the house. If I had not brought that guy to the house, this would not have happened. But I said, that's not your fault. You were doing it out of good intentions for your son, right? And it turned out that way. And then your whole family is a lot of dukkha. I really admire you being able to go through all this for so many years, and you're still alive. And you're still sane and alive, and she still comes to do dana whatever she can. And she's really a very admirable person. Before that, her husband was suffering from kidney failure for many years, and she has to take care of the husband, take him to dialysis every twice or three times a week, all the way to Ipoh. And then going to take care of this half-crazy son. And then two daughters are also having problems with their life. So I told her, in such times, we have to fall back on karma, isn't it? What else can we say? It's not you. These things are all very intricately intertwined. You and your children, you and the people that you associate with, all have karmic links before in the past. You are here because of your karmic links. Now, some of them, they are debts that you have to pay. Then, might as well pay it with dignity and gracefully. This is where faith comes in. Although people like to say that, Buddhism does not rely on blind faith. But actually, for me, I think that belief in karma is also something like blind faith, isn't it? When we cannot find any more explanations, we always say, it's a karma la, what to do? What's the difference when you compare to the Muslims and the Christians? It's Allah's will. It's God's will. I just surrender. Never mind. It helps, doesn't it? But it can be even more profound. Your faith can be even more stable and strong if you can also see this law of cause and conditioning, cause and effect in your daily life. Okay, to give you an example of one of our yogis. She's been a long time yogi also, and she practices a lot of daily awareness, always watching her mind the whole day to see how the mind works in relation to the senses. And she's also a very good friend of this lawyer who drowned, unfortunately. And she said, when she went to the wake and when she saw the corpse of the lawyer, she could not cry. Everybody else was crying. The family members, the friends, all were teary, looking at such a bloated corpse, and also the circumstances under which the children and the family is left in. She said she couldn't cry, and she felt a bit uncomfortable. Everybody was crying, but she was not crying, so she had to wear dark glasses. Just to pretend that he's crying. I asked her, why? Why can't you cry? He said, well, we all have been watching the mind all the time. We know that this is all cause and conditioning. There's nothing that we can do about it. Why cry over spilt milk? And it becomes a part of you, you know. Why do people cry? People cry because their expectations are not met. Right or not? Yeah, because you're clinging to something, that is the cause of sorrow. When the Buddha defined, one of the definitions of dukkha is not getting what you want, being separated from what you love. So it's all due to attachment. But if you're watching your mind all the time, the whole day, not only once in a while, once a year for a 1 week retreat, but you're watching the mind the whole day, you can understand how the mind works. You can understand most of our mental sufferings are caused by our unskillful ways of reacting to our senses, including our minds. Okay, let me get back to this sutta before I close and open to question and answer. So the Buddha here says that there are these six things. One is karma, and the cause by which karma comes into play. Thirdly, the diversity in karma. And fourthly, the result of karma. Fifth, the cessation of karma, and the path of practice that leads to the cessation of karma. Of course, the first one is karma is intention. The second is the cause by which karma comes into play.